time opening. We have an eye, sort of a nostril, two teeth. One of the teeth has a small cavity. Close call, folks, but I think we got here just in time.
Presented by Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro. This is Anatomy of a Movie. In-depth discussions and breakdowns of various movie titles. And now that you've seen the movie, let the dissection begin.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Popcorn Talks, Anatomy of a Movie, where we are talking wild. And we are joined today with an actress from the film, Catherine DePrume. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, of course. And so we just did our discussion, our anatomy of the movie, and so we're excited to talk to you about your experience on set in the wilderness for this film based off of the book by Cheryl Strayed, Wild, which was a bestseller, an Oprah Book Club book. So I read it. I know a lot of people out there read it too. So they had a lot going into it. Did you read the book before?
I did.
You did?
I read the book before I shot, but not before I auditioned.
Okay.
I just had no time. But I ran to Amazon and just looked, online and just looked at the pages they let you see. So I got a little bit of the taste of the story, but I didn't have a chance to read the book, but then I read the book and was so even more excited that I got this part. And I love the book. It's beautiful.
You play a really interesting character. You're the only really other female hiker she meets along the trail. And so your scene was a poignant one in the film, and because you guys both, you know, you're sitting there at sunset, there's the cows, and you're both kind of talking about why you're on this journey. Talk to us about that scene a little bit and what it was like. You guys were filming at sunset, and you know what it's like working with Jean-Marc and, you know, looking at the writing versus the writing in the book, because it is different. So what was that whole process like?
Well, my character is actually probably a compilation of two characters in the book, because there are two women hikers in the book. And so I think it's its own, from my point of view, I feel like there's kind of a metaphorical thing about her mother and my character. There's a bit of a maternal moment. It might be just me seeing that for all I know, but so it's different, you know, than the book. And then working with Jean-Marc was really incredible. I just feel so fortunate to have had that experience. He's so creative and spontaneous, and yet very thorough. Like, I was so excited because when I got there up to Portland, first I was in Ashland, then Portland, they were sending me all these new lines. So it made me a little nervous because every day was like more and more stuff. But I was really excited. I was like, wow, this is turning out to be quite a role, you know. And they were trying to give me a backstory and create something.
Cool.
So then when I was in the trailer, the makeup trailer with Reese, makeup but no makeup, you know, dirt. It was like dirt being put on us. And Reese was so amazing. She said, "Do you want to run lines?" And I said, "Sure." And I was like, "Oh my God, I just got these lines. Like, how am I even gonna?" We're about to go to the set and it's sunset. And
I have so much time during sunset.
Like, ticking clock. Like, I was so not prepared. And so we ran lines, and she was so cool because her line stayed the same.
Right.
Like, but mine was just getting developed, you know. And then I just froze in the trailer. I was like, I can't remember my damn line. And she was so cool, just calm and relaxed, and just waited and waited. And the more she waited, the more I freaked out I got. And then they were like, "Okay, let's go to set." And I was like, "Oh my God, I'm just gonna completely like ruin this movie."
Oh,
and
no.
And I was just so stressed out. And so we're going to set, and then the sun is going down. It's going down, and we won't have a scene, and they'll have to keep me another few days, and it'll be just a disaster. And they're gonna also be worrying about my lines, you know. So we get there, and it's so beautiful. It's this hill, and there are these cows. And we're just sitting there, and it was just so idyllic, you know? And we sat down, and I don't know, this calm came over me, and I just felt so relaxed. And I thought, I gotta just go for it. You know, whatever whatever we're going to do, we're going to do. And, you know, so we the lines
came. It ended up being okay.
And it was also a little improvisational, too. It wasn't so much pressure about the lines. You know, it was more. And then what's so interesting is after seeing the film, just about all of those extra lines got cut. Mm-hmm. And so there was a teensy part of me that was not so happy, but I think it's even better with them cut. What was so incredible and full of wisdom and looking back at it was they were giving me so much backstory, so I have so much under me.
Yeah.
And I think having all that saying in the line, it would have been just, you didn't need it.
Right.
And that's interesting because I wanted to ask you, you're in the movie for a short yet important, and as you pointed out, Chloe, a poignant time. But yet, as an audience, as a moviegoer, that scene, your character, Stacy, comes into the scene, and obviously there's baggage there. There's obviously, Stacy's on her journey for whatever reasons they are. We don't know. It's a mystery. She's just a ship that's passing by in the night towards our main character. And I was wondering what did they tell you? So what was the quote unquote backstory?
Oh, I don't want to say.
How did they get you prepared? Well, because I was curious, like, how did they get you prepared because you don't tell us what you're there for, but you have that scene. It's like, oh, that woman seems like a woman after my own heart. And, you know, and it's a great scene. But you convey a character who has their own reasons for taking the journey or the path to enlightenment, so to speak.
Well, even before they gave me those lines, I had to create that. You know, that's the job of being an actor and auditioning for stuff that you have no clue what you're... I mean, especially television. Mm-hmm. When I audition for television, I don't have a script. Half the time, not half the time, a lot of the times, they give you a fake script. Because they're so freaked out about
especially
fans.
Especially like Mad Men and things like that.
Or like True Blood. Yeah. You know? It's just like, oh my gosh, I have no information. I have to create something here. So looking at the gist of the story the night before, with looking through Amazon, I thought I have to create a story for myself. So, but then when Jean-Marc and Nick Hornby, they're sending the lines, it was like really developing. So...
I have a question. Did, in creating your own backstory versus then what they started feeding you, did anything line up? Like, the story you created for yourself line up with what they were then giving you?
It kind of did, because I was, I don't want to give it away. It just, it's so nice, because I have a secret, you know, and that's one of the actor's, you know, tools is, like, I've got this cool secret, and
well,
I love
that
they made
it a secret. Oh,
really?
We're really keeping it just between us. Yeah,
we'll
keep it just between us, I swear to God. So, how long were you filming for in that? Like, how long did they have you come down? Actually, take through the process, because you did say you auditioned.
Yeah.
So, how far back, prior to filming, was the process started for you?
Well, I auditioned, and then I didn't hear anything for, it felt like weeks. So often with feature films, it would be like a month, and then when I've booked features, and then I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot all about that. So it was a few weeks, and a nice surprise. It was just really such great news. And then maybe a couple weeks, and then they flew me to Ashland, which was so beautiful, and they flew me there for the fitting. So I got to really just enjoy being up there and being away from my life for a couple days. And I got to meet everybody, and then we drove to Portland, stayed at a hotel in Portland, and then we shot the two scenes that I did in the same day outside of Portland, about 45 minutes south, I think. I don't even know where we were, but it was out in the
woods.
And we were talking before you came, because we were trying to figure out your name, Sarah, the character's name is in the credits.
Stacy is there.
But we couldn't recall when you said your name. So
yeah,
did you say it when you picked up the package? Because that was something that you theorized.
I was like, maybe when she was picking up the package.
Maybe. I don't remember.
Yeah, you clearly have a name. It's in the credits and all.
And it's an interesting name, too, because it's an EY. It's a Stacy with an EY. So we were thinking, is it supposed to be a man? Maybe, like, you know, there's... maybe that's a male spelling, but...
Huh. Interesting.
A mysterious.
Yeah, so all in all, a couple of, what was it, 5 days, 3 days for you?
Probably about 4 or 5 days, yeah. Right. Nice. Total.
But
yeah.
The film, they only shot it in, what, 35?
35 days.
So,
yeah,
so that's. You know, that's a decent amount. It's just interesting because what's great about this film, and I was telling them that because the main character spends so much time alone, anytime she is on the trail, you know, not in a flashback, but on the trail, interacts with an animal or another person, they're weighted so much in this film because you're like, oh, like even the cows, when she said like, hi, Oregon cows, you were like, yay, like interaction.
Yeah.
So it was like every character. And then I love how one of your lines was like, oh, did you meet Greg? He didn't make it. You know, like.
Oh, I do say that. I thought that got cut. Okay.
No. It makes it because it was so interesting because it's like, oh, these two women are making it through the trail.
Yes.
You know,
thank
it's like you. He gave up and he seemed like he knew what he was doing.
Yeah. Right.
But like, oh, these two women are like, they're going for it. And I just thought that was like a really cool moment in the film as a whole. And then I want to know how this film, I think what's so great about it is it tells a woman's story and a woman you don't really see in film a lot, you know. She's
right.
A very well-rounded female character, as well as Laura Dern's character, the mother, is another female character who you don't really see, you know, someone who is a victim, not really playing the victim, playing a happy-go-lucky person. And then you're also this other woman in the film. And so how does that feel to, like, be in a film that's kind of breaking barriers for roles for women?
I feel so proud. I'm like pinching myself. Because it not only is it a lovely role in a lovely film, it's an unusual film. It's really unusual. It's an unusual story for women. And it's so funny because it's a true story. You know? It's not like some made up weird thing. And then there's no fluff to it. It's just so naked and down to earth and real. And yet there's a story there. And I love that. I love that the females, especially Reese's character, is just so raw and not pretty and not put together. And it's so funny because it's so opposite from Elle, you know, her legally blonde. It's just a whole, and in fact, when I read the script and read the book, I thought, Reese Witherspoon?
Oh, so did I. I was like, is she going to shoot heroin in her ankle? That was my first thought because that's so such a part of the book. But then you were
so light and bright and, you know, and put together to, in my mind, you know, and yet there she was on set and she was so not put together, just really like plain Jane, like you sitting right there. She was so down to earth and simple and lovely. It was just amazing.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And what is she like as an actress on set? Is she the one that, like, as soon as they yell cut, you know, she kind of gets back into who, you know, her Reese Witherspoon self? Or did she sort of, like, live in that character a little bit? Because, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but those cuts and those, like, wear and tear marks from the monster backpack looked real. Like, and that's another thing I wanted to know, too, is did they weight that backpack?
Yes, they did.
They real weighted
it. Yeah, in fact,
looks like it.
In fact, they were shooting a scene in which she did, like, 15... She had to go up a mountain, and they said, you know what, the backpack doesn't look heavy enough. Mm. And they weighted it down with 35 more pounds.
Whoa!
So they weighted that.
And I wear a backpack, too. In the first scene,
that's right,
I do.
You walk in.
And at first, it was really light. I'm like, guys, you know, I don't... It's not like I'm walking a whole mile in it. Let me carry a bit of something.
Yeah, because so you got to come down in wearing that.
And I'm tired. I've been hiking, so... Yeah.
Sarah, you had a look like you had a
question. I just had a little bit of a question because earlier you mentioned how you were shooting this one scene at sundown, and so much of this work is focused on natural light and getting things done. What is the environment like? Do they have time clocks? Is there a pressure? Because I feel like as an actor you might feel it yourself, but they do this every day where they are racing against light, against time. And how is their atmosphere, or how do they monitor themselves in working with the natural light in this environment?
Well, the whole, I was hearing on the walkie-talkies, like, let's go. And I was like, oh my God. So I felt a little stressed from everybody. And Jean-Marc is really like on point, let's go. You know, he's no like chill out guy. He's really like makes things happen in the moment. So it was a bit, I was, you know, it was, people were working hard, and the light was going down fast. And so the cinematographer was just so amazing. And Jean-Marc, they were like dancing around us, and, you know, it was just very documentary style, you know, and it was, they just worked with what we had.
I was going to say, for the setup of shots, they do talk about kind of this fluid motion that they have when they're shooting on the handhelds instead of cutting in between and really setting up. So you mentioned them dancing. Yeah. Is it just consistent? Like, are you just doing your scene on repeat, or do they reset?
Oh, like, they did reset. Yeah, they'd reset. And they were so fluid. It was surprising how they were moving around. But they did, like, start on Reese, and, you know, were on that side, and then they moved over to me, and then they kind of went all around.
It feels that way. It feels that way as you're watching the film, though. It does feel fluid, and you feel like his shots are really connected to the actors, and it's not just like, I'm going to set this up, it's your perspective, and he works really well with his angles and everything. So I just wanted to know,
that's such a great
kind of where he was coming from, how he was approaching you guys and interacting with you.
That's so, you're so perceptive about that. That's exactly what I felt about working with these guys. I felt like they were really honoring what we were bringing. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of unusual. Like, most of the time, you have a setup, and you've got a director over there, and a, you know, and it's a little more... I just felt like they were with us, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. it was a dance with us, you know, mm-hmm. so...
Versus sometimes actors, I think, feel like puppets a little bit.
And he doesn't overcut either. He doesn't overcut. Like, that scene in particular, too, just plays out very nicely. It doesn't, it's not cut to you. Like, usually in a conversation, they'll stage the shot so that, okay, we're going to have her talk, then we'll have her talk, and then we'll cut it so that the face is here and over here, and then her face is here. But you were together in that scene, mm-hmm. it looked like. It didn't seem like there was a lot of editing going mm-hmm. on. They let the scene play out. And I think with the sunset in the background and what was being said is equally as important with the end of the day coming. And it was nice. And then you're off, and you go your separate paths.
Right.
It's very nice.
Being that you read the book and were privileged, I'm guessing, to read the script, when watching the film, did any scenes shock you or, like, really inspire you when you got to watch it as an audience member?
I don't want to give much away, but I know in reviews they have given some of this away. But I was so impressed with the storytelling of it, because the book, you know, when you read a book,
right.
mm-hmm. you have a certain experience, but it's really hard to translate a book to the screen mm-hmm. and to capture what that author was saying and trying mm-hmm. to, you know. So I thought the way that they did the flashbacks was amazing, because I know as a writer, one of the rules that you want to stay away from is flashbacks. Like, they say that can be, you know, the kiss of death or whatever. But this was just so artfully done.
We completely agree with you. We were talking about that. Chloe also read the book and thought that it was... I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you...
I mean, I thought the movie was better than the book. I thought it was one of those instances where, you know, the way the book told the story was interesting, and I think works the way, you know, storytelling in a book works. But the way that they did the film, I just thought really, really kept you in it and really kept the theme of the story throughout the whole film, which I thought was really cool and was done through the flashbacks.
Yeah.
Plus, having Laura Dern helps.
It was done like a puzzle, and you get the whole puzzle piece together by the end of the story so that you understand the journey a little bit.
Kind of like Rosebud.
Yeah.
a little bit.
Sort of, kind of, in a sense. So I want to talk about yourself, or talk about you, because I think you have an inspiring story. A lot of people who watch this Anatomy of a Movie, they're movie fans. And some of them are inspiring actors, actresses, or they want to be producers, directors. You come from Brooklyn. At the age of 4, it is said that you wanted to be a clown.
Yeah.
Okay, so you wanted to be a clown. How does being a clown then lead to wanting to act? Like, you didn't want to, like, jump in a Ringling Brothers and Bone Room Bailey Circus.
No.
You just and you didn't want to be a class clown, but you...
I wanted to be a class clown. I mean, I think I was a class clown. I just love laughing. Mm-hmm. And growing up in my wacky family, every day we were doubled over in laughter. You know, you ever watch like a Marx Brothers movie?
Absolutely.
Or like Charlie Chaplin, where you're just like, oh sure. My God. Like, that's how I grew up with my crazy Russian mother. Oh, she's not crazy. Just wacky, you know.
Wonderfully crazy.
Endearing.
Endearing. Just no holds barred, kind of breaking rules and inspiring. She's my muse.
Right.
But yeah, that's to me why I wanted to be an actor, mm-hmm. like make people double over, you know.
So then let me ask, because I had also read that your parents weren't necessarily supportive at the beginning of this. So I'm assuming, and this is where I find like the inspiration, you plugged on through. This is something that you wanted to do. You came to LA mid-90s. I believe
1990.
Okay, early 90s, right at the beginning, with nothing from what I've read, nothing but your life was stuffed into two trash bags. You didn't really get much support from your folks,
and I didn't know how to drive.
And you didn't know how to drive.
Oh my gosh!
And there's
no GPS then.
No.
Yeah, that stupid Thomas guy.
Right, that's Thomas guy.
That you can kill somebody.
Cool. I like that.
You can beat somebody to death with that thing. That thing was so thick. But in any case, so how? Okay, what was your decision? That is a really big move for someone to take. You pretty much did it on your own. May I ask siblings?
I have two brothers. One of them is a musician and was in the band White Zombie. He was their original drummer.
Okay.
And my other brother's stayed in Brooklyn, and he's doing his own thing. And so I'm the oldest of three siblings.
So, well, you come out to California. You're pretty much on your own. When you landed here, then what? What's your plan? Like, what did you do?
Well, I did have an agent. Thank God. I had an agent who was bi-coastal, so I was hooked up with them. Mm-hmm. So that made a huge difference. But I started taking driving lessons. That's what I started doing. And I stayed for a while on my friend's floor for about a month or two. And to be quite honest, I'm a Buddhist and I chant, so I chanted my butt off, because you chant for your goals, so I chanted my butt off, and I was determined. I just had this chutzpah, this determination that I got from my mother, honestly. My mother would break laws. She would go through, subway turnstiles and sneak us underneath while the cop right there, and then talk us out of being arrested and, you know, things like that. So I just learned from her how to not give up, you know. And I had this dream. I had this determination, and I kind of had no other choice, you know. It was like, what else do I do? I wanted to do this my whole life. I've studied, and it was kind of the natural next step for me, because I had done a few films in New York, and I felt like, all right, let me spread my wings and see what I can do here.
And your parents at the time, what were they thinking at all?
Well, the whole way through, my mom and I thank her so much, but she never is happy about acting. You know? I mean, like I said, last time I was here, she calls acting being a prostitute, you know, and Hollywood is going to hell. And, you know, but I try to show her some of the great stuff I've done. You know, I can't wait for her to see Wild.
Right.
That's the kind of work that she'd want me to be doing. And I like playing prostitutes, actually. Right. I played some good prostitutes. I love showing a mirror to humanity, whoever. Mm-hmm. You know, they're good people or bad people. I think that's the difference between me and my mother. My mother wants to judge, you know, and I love to show that all people have something to offer and something to teach us, you know.
So you took that negative, though, and again, it's inspiration. You took a negative, really turned it into a positive, because right here you said your mom's your muse.
Yeah.
And does your mom know this? Like, do you tell
her
this a lot?
Believe it.
She doesn't
believe it. She doesn't buy it.
No. Well, hopefully you get her to tune into this, because look, I also look at you as a multi-hyphenate, because you've been in movies, you've been on TV, you've been on stage, you've had your one-woman show, you've also directed. So of all that, you've accomplished quite a lot for someone who came out here with two hefty bags with their life filled in them. So you have to feel really proud about that an extent. Well, I'm just reading your bio and just looking at the things that you've done. And you sustained a career, which is amazing. And you get to be in a movie like Wild, and you know, you're saddled up next to Reese Witherspoon. So, I mean, these are all, like, these positive steps that you've made for yourself. And if it's inspired by your mom, all the better. What do you like to do? What's next? You directed. Do you plan on making that a career? Or do you want to direct yourself? Like, are you more comfortable behind the camera or in front of the camera?
I'm more used to being an actor, and I think that's my blood, that's my real passion. But it's funny, being a child and seeing all these different characters, part of what was so exciting to me was the dynamics between them. And I can't really play all the characters, I kind of do in my one-woman show, but that's where directing and writing comes in. And so I really enjoy that. I get to be really other characters when I'm writing and directing too. Mm-hmm. I get so excited doing it. So it's all of it. Whatever will come my way, and if I am excited about it, I'll do it. But acting has been my bread and butter also. It's how I make a living. So
outside of your mom, who else have you had for inspiration?
Oh my God, Reese for sure. She inspires me more and more. I learn about her. It's just so funny to me that this L girl, you mm-hmm. know, this little cutesy little girl, and then she's a mom of three. She produced Gone Girl. She produced Wild, starred in Wild, and yet in the scenes that I worked with her, she was so calm and collected. I mean, when I directed a couple short films that I was in, I was like, oh my God, my head was everywhere. You know, I think that's a huge thing to be able to, you know, especially focus. Produce. I mean,
right.
Producing is like your mind is everywhere.
Right.
But anyway, so other people, Meryl Streep, of course.
Sure.
The way mm-hmm. she's had the opportunity to really change herself. I really love changing herself. Frances McDormand mm-hmm. is another big woman I'm so inspired by. Let's see, some others. Dame Judi Dench.
Okay.
She just turned 80 yesterday.
Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
Oh my gosh. And yeah. such beauty, you know.
And so funny.
And so funny.
Yeah.
And
still doing stage work, like still doing like hard things. Yeah. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah. At 80. So, you know, you're talking about Reese, and we were talking about women in Hollywood. There's a lot of talk, too, and not that it's unwarranted, but that a woman's role in Hollywood, that there isn't enough. There isn't enough, they always say, whether it's producing, acting, directing. Your take on it, and what steps do you think can be done, should be done to help rectify this?
I think men need to go to female movies and realize that they're like, my husband is such an action movie guy, like
sure.
anything with like a woman in the title is like he'll drag his feet, you know. And then he saw Wild and he was like, wow, that was so good, you know. So I think men can help us, so please come to see female films.
Sure.
But I think like any, I mean, we're not a minority, of course, we're probably the majority, but anybody who wants more work mm-hmm. needs to take responsibility and create it.
Right.
So, I mean, I wish there was more work. I wish there was more work for older actresses. You know, I'm not that old, but, you know, it just, Hollywood tends to be, I think it's really about, you know, if you're going to put a lot of money down on a film and mm-hmm. produce a movie, you want to get your return. So
absolutely. It's a great risk.
You don't want to, like, badmouth the producers or the
sure.
the money people, because they're risking their money. So they want to get the return, and their return usually is the young 25-year-old males or whatever that is. But there's a lot of audience out there. There are a lot of other people out there who have money in their pockets and want to go to the movies and
sure.
want to watch TV. And more, especially TV now, there are more and more incredible female roles. Mm-hmm. I mean, Allison Janney just got nominated mm-hmm. for a Golden Globe. Oh, she's amazing. She's yeah. another muse. So I think it's getting better, and I think, but we have to take responsibility right. and create.
Yeah, I see that I sort of see it getting better. You know, when you look at people, well, Kathleen Kennedy, she's now running Lucasfilm. I mean, you know, got to give that credit. You know, you look at somebody like Gail Ann Hurd, you know, who started off with James Cameron and now, you know, Walking Dead. And, you know, there's a lot of actresses, and I'm not saying, I think it's getting better, but I still think that there's more of a path and there's more road to take, for there to be stronger female characters. And, you know, you can tell your husband who loves, action movies, well, yeah, just tell him to go watch, any James Cameron movie, you know, Terminator or Aliens strong female character. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my thing is we should be I loved The Heat, the movie The Heat, because you had two great characters. You had Sandra Bullock and McCarthy. And again, it turned the buddy cop movie on its heels, because now you had two female characters who were just as raunchy and just as tough. But women can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Sigourney Weaver has proven this. Mm-hmm. Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes, Sigourney
Weaver.
And
you were in a whole movie.
Oh my gosh, Alien. Oh,
absolutely.
Incredible.
So, you know, it would be great to see, you know, Jennifer Lawrence is cutting her teeth very well, you know, but she has Hunger Games, but she can be an American Hustle, you know, and I know Shailene Woodley, they're priming up as well. We should put these women in far better, like, you can get men to go.
Right.
Put them in. Don't make them.
Make them fight, make them get bloody, and then they'll go.
Right.
And if they kiss, even better.
Right. And look at, at Jessica Chastain in Zero Dark 30. That was produced by Annapurna, you know, with Megan Ellison.
Wow.
Again, I think that there is the opportunity there. Just make the movies and people will go. Make a good movie and they don't care who the lead is, so long as that lead is strong and they believe in them.
Right.
And speaking of making movies, do you have anything coming up? But, you know, we have Wild Out now, and then anything, you know,
I'm also
down the
in a film called Ask Me Anything that's actually opening next Friday, the 19th, on video on demand.
Oh, awesome.
And what's
so
her name?
Can we get that on like iTunes and Netflix kind of thing?
I've got to get better about it. I'm so excited about Wild. I haven't focused on the other one. But so Britt Robertson's in it, and Martin Sheen is in it. Yeah, there's a lot of great names in it, and it's an independent film. It's based on a book. What's the name of the book? Anyway, it's really good. It's like a thriller mystery.
And it's called Ask Me Anything.
Ask Me Anything.
And you've worked with Martin Sheen before?
No, but I worked with Charlie Sheen. Yeah.
Okay. The Sheen's
what
confused.
Did I do? Terminal Velocity.
Yeah,
we were in that together.
Uh-huh.
We didn't have any scenes together, but we met in the makeup trailer. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you go
cool.
to the movies often?
Not enough, because I have a 3-year-old, so we have to hire a babysitter. But
gotcha.
Before her, we used to go like every weekend. My husband and I.
What are some of your favorite movies of this past year?
I got to go to the premiere of
We're hammering these questions.
I know.
And I was so inspired by this female lead in it. Keanu Reeves is in it.
John Wick.
That was
so
such a good movie.
It was so much fun.
Oh my gosh! And that actress who played the assassin.
She was great.
Yeah, she was amazing.
Yeah,
so
there's
a kick-ass female character.
Mm-hmm.
I love that film. I need to see some of these, like, nominated now that Golden Globe nominations have come out. I want to see Selma. There's so many.
Selma's great. I saw it at, it's a great movie, everyone, when it comes out, and it's beautifully shot, and interviewing the director was incredible. And
Female director.
She's young, and it's gonna be, honestly, I think he's gonna win Best Actor, and it might be the Best Picture.
Wow.
It's a good one. It's really good, guys. When it comes out in your theater, you gotta go see it. And I saw the rough cut, too. It wasn't the final product yet, so. It's a good one to go see. It's one of those exciting ones.
We have a date night next week. I'm so excited. We have a babysitter coming, so I'm getting to pick the movie. So
great. Well, where can everybody else find you? Obviously in the theaters and on video on demand.
I'm on Facebook. I created a Facebook public page.
Nice.
Finally. And Twitter. I'm Catherine, CathryNDE. Or you can just find my name. You can find me on Twitter and follow
me
there.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
Wonderful.
And then where can everybody find you guys?
We've been over this.
You first, ladies first.
I'm here. Popcorn Talk Network, also on AfterBuzz TV. Yeah, you can just find me around. I kind of stick away from the Twitter.
I'm here, and I begrudgingly am on Twitter, but it's been all right. So, so far, so good. At DMovies1701.
Awesome. Well, I love Twitter, so please tweet at me and Instagram and Snapchat. I love all social media because I love chatting with you guys about movies, music, film, TV, whatever. You guys can find me here, Twitter and Instagram at Chloe West X, as well as on AfterBuzz TV. Catherine DePrume, thank you so much for coming in and chatting about Wild and your experiences on the film and talking about movies in general. And please come back for your next film to chat with us on Popcorn Talk. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having
me. Thanks.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the rest of the Anatomy of a Movie staff, we would like to thank you for listening and subscribing to the show. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email or tweet us. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been Anatomy of a Movie.